about? It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Amy Adams.
And, of course, not Amy Adams, but Denise Lee. How are you going?
Good, Laura. It's nice to be on, and no, I'm not Amy Adams.
No, no.
But it's really great to be on, and great to be on for the first time.
Oh, well, we're so excited to have you on the show. Thank you so much
Thanks.
For joining us.
Cheers, Laura.
So I'm just going to jump straight into the political stuff.
Yep.
Kiwi Build, a big conversation in the news this week.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering, with 34 houses built so far under Kiwi Build, short of the 1,000 houses by July target, what do you think this indicates from Labor?
Well, actually, I'm going to give them a bit of credit and say that my number says that they've built 47 so far. So we just added a few more in the last couple of seconds, didn't we, Laura?
Oh, wow. That's a big one.
Yeah, no, it is a big jump that, what is it, 13 or so?
Mm.
I think that this indicates, and I'll just use two words here, a major flop. And that's a very strong statement to make. But what we've got is 1,000 promised by July, 47 so far, and all of a sudden Phil Twyford is changing that 1,000 to a target. It was a target. In that same period of time, 35,000 were built by the private sector. So you do have to honestly ask yourself, what's going on here? Why isn't that so-called target unfolding like it should have unfolded, given the absolute certainty and assurance and, you know, big game talk that we've been given for, what, 18 months now of this new government? So where's the results?
Yeah, well, I mean, the other side of that is really that developers are not getting on board with the scheme. We live in a capitalist market, so with this, it's kind of asking them to reduce profits. So do we blame developers or do we blame government in that scenario?
Well, I mean, the Kiwi Build program, right, is driven by the Minister of Housing and driven by this government. So they're responsible to get the settings right, to get the incentives right for the private sector. And on top of that, they should also be working on reforming the RMA, looking at the International Building Code, working with council on the consenting, the very slow consenting process. Look, it's becoming so sort of complex and unraveled that now they're fast-tracking Urban Development Authority, you know, the UDAs. So I think what you've got here is a sort of panic stations and looking for any answers. For goodness sake, we've got supposedly this big, long list of people scratching to get into Kiwi Build homes, and we've got ones that have been on market for you know, the ballot's been open for months, ones that have been on the market for 3 months, and they're unsold. And Onehunga. And Onehunga's my area. That's Onehunga's main street. Why aren't they selling?
Good questions. I just want to jump back to the RMA reform that you're talking about. So that's been National's primary conversation driver. I'm just curious how you find RMA is impairing the building of new homes.
Well, it's all about how you get resource consents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's primarily the framework. You can't do anything or build anything or take over land without making sure that you have passed through regulations. And admittedly, they've been pretty cumbersome. You know, some of them are entirely necessary, protecting the environment, making sure that people don't just, you know, come over the top of other people's space and ownership. But when you get to the stage where you've got an absolute slowdown, I would say it's not just RMA from a central government perspective, Laura, it's also council consenting.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, and I know because I was a former city councillor for Auckland, that Auckland Council has been very slow to the mark in terms of consenting. So it's a joint approach, looking at resource consents and looking at consent to build, both of them.
Yeah, so that's sounding more like a council issue then.
But it's both.
Mm.
The RMA sits in central government. It's central government legislation. Getting consent to build a home sits within council.
Mm. I'm just going to jump on to the next subject, which is a primary school that's in Auckland and decided to stop donations. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a big deal because they're wanting to see government back them on this decision. Do you support this primary school's decision?
Yeah, look, I've got to say, gutsy move, really gutsy move by them. They're forcing the issue, I think, of the fact that Labor had set expectations super high around this issue. In fact, it was a campaign promise, right? So they said in their campaign that they would stop school donations across the board, and have had radio silence. We've had radio silence from the government since they've been elected. We know that Chris Hipkins has had a bit of heat on this as the Minister of Education, and nothing, no word on a timeline. I'm on the Education Select Committee, Laura. So we, you know, as part of what we do as opposition is hold the government to account. We've been asking on a very regular basis, what about school donations? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And now you've got this little school that could in South Auckland saying, well, we're going to force the issue, and, you know, basically how are you going to respond, government? And let's see.
Yeah, well, I mean, this last year that's just passed has brought up a lot of issues in education. So there was strikes around wanting pay increases amongst teachers, and then there was the issue of school buildings that are not up to standard for having students even in them. So is this potentially too much to ask from government?
Well, undoubtedly, there's a big work program, right? But you can't... one of the things you do during a campaign as a political party is you coughed up your policies. When you're one of the two big boys, Labor or National, you never promise things to the public of New Zealand that you can't follow through on. And the problem is anything in the education side of things, you've got to be careful because this is families, this is their children, this is their children's future. Everyone knows you need a great education to have a great future. So if you say, hey, we're going to help you out, we know you're stretched as families for, you know, money, rents are going up in Auckland and even more so in Wellington, actually, and we know that that extra, what, $250 a year for your school donations, you could do with that back in your pocket for, you know, what, uniforms or just, you know, getting good school shoes for kids. But if you can't follow through on that promise, I reckon it's a really big deal. You know, there's other broken promises. Supposed to have additional $8 billion in health. Didn't get that in the budget. State houses, they said they were going to build 1,600 of those and have only got 273 so far. Big stuff.
Yeah.
You have to follow through.
Yeah, definitely. Shifting on to our final subject, which is cannabis. It's been a huge issue this week. Well, the last few weeks, actually. And it's looking to be one of our big topics of the political year. And Paula Bennett's taken the spokesperson role of drug reform. Can you tell me a bit about National stance on cannabis and where it's coming from?
Yeah, well, the reason for that drug spokesperson role is that we are really surprised at the ad hoc, confused and even contradictory way that the government is working with its supply partners, you know, Greens and New Zealand First, to address the topic. So we've stepped back and said, right, need a coordinated approach. You've got the health, the education, the law and order, border control, all of those areas need to be coordinated when it comes to drug issues and drug reform. And so we think it's a great idea to take a big coordinated approach, and that's what we're doing with that role.
I am curious, with it being Paula Bennett, who was the person who started drug testing with people in the benefit and drug testing of social housing, which was deemed illegitimate last year, do you think with that in mind, she has the potential to take a very streamlined negative approach to people who do use drugs?
No, look, that's not at all her intention. She's done heaps of work on something called the Meth Action Plan when we were in government, and she'd like to continue that. It is a complex area and cuts across so many sectors, as I've just said. So having one person in our team coordinate the other people on our team You know, for instance, we've got Chris Bishop, who's our police spokesperson, Mark Mitchell in Justice. We've got one of our new MPs, Simeon Brown, who's got a private members bill on synthetic drugs and penalties. All of this stuff needs a coordinated approach. Otherwise, you're going to get what you've got with the government, which is, you know, a sort of a toss-up situation between Greens and Labor and medicinal cannabis, which their legislation actually looks like de facto endorsement of recreational cannabis. So you do need to be very careful about a coordinated approach, and that's what we're doing.
Mm. I am also curious, because I know with a national, you do have something called moral issues where you get to take a moral stance. Is cannabis one of them?
Do you mean like conscience vote?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, so yes, recreational cannabis is a conscience vote for us, so we all each get personally to decide where we're going to be on that. But we're taking a party approach to medicinal cannabis, mm-hmm. and we support that. And we support it with a really, really good bunch of hard work behind the scenes to get the details around that. So you can't just say, oh, let's go for medicinal cannabis. You know, we know that it can actively help people when they're in chronic pain and really tough conditions. You've got to say stuff like, well, who can apply for the license to sell? Where are the performance ratings for the drugs, the safety standards? There's a whole bunch of things that you need to think through. Well, we've done the thinking. That was our bill. It's under the name of Shane Reddy in a private member's ballot. And their bill has none of that. It just floats the idea. It actually is tantamount to opening the floodgates to recreational smoking as well. There's no regulations, there's no safeguards, whereas our version did.
Mm. Now, I'm going to finish off with my final question. I believe your press sec might have told you about this, but I like to end on a non-political question.
Okay, hit me.
Okay. Non-political question. I was listening to the radio the other day, and they were asking questions about, like, what advice do you have for young people starting to date? What kind of qualities do you recommend looking for in a potential partner? And I was wondering what your advice was.
Oh, that's a good question, because I've got a 15 and 17-year-old daughters. So, and I'm very, very, very happy that at the moment they're the kind of daughters that are happy to talk to their mum on this subject.
That might
change, I don't know, but right now we kind of do talk heaps and she heaps. Do you know what? What's big for me in a romantic partner is humour. Because you're going to inevitably go through some tough times, right, no matter what stage you're at in a partnership. And if you can't laugh through some of the tough stuff, the good stuff, the celebrations, then, I don't know, life's pretty dry. So that's right up there for me. The other would be that you've got to share life goals. You know, ultimately, if you're heading down two different tracks, that's going to be tough. And, you know, the rest of it, I don't know. Don't concentrate on trying to change someone. Work on yourself.
Mm.
Those are three ones for now.
I love it. All great advice. Thank you so much, Denise.
Cheers, Laura.
All right. You have a nice day.
Yeah, same to you. See ya.
Bye.
The National Party's Amy Adams on 95 BFM.
The Wire.